to DFM's Last Word on Health with Matt Cooper and La Roche-Posay's Lipicon range, sensitive skincare for over 30 years.
It's time for our weekly health spot. Dr. Dermot O'Leary, the health blogger, GP with My Cork GP, is with us. And today we're going to talk about eczema and a thing called atopic dermatitis, which I think is how it's pronounced, because September is Eczema Awareness Month. And we are going to continue talking about other health issues which remain important to so many people, even during the COVID-19 pandemic. Dermot, thank you for joining us. Tell us, this skin condition, eczema, how many people does it affect?
It's a very common skin condition, inflammatory skin disease. Like you said, so atopic dermatitis is the medical term for eczema. It is more common in children. So about 5 to 20% of children worldwide will have eczema at some point. Some children grow out of it, but some children don't. The word or the term atopic dermatitis comes from the word atopy. So atopy describes conditions like eczema, hay fever, asthma, allergic rhinitis. So if you have one of those conditions, you're more likely to have one of the other ones. So the progression of atopic dermatitis or eczema in infancy, progressing on to allergic rhinitis or hay fever or asthma in childhood, is described as the atopic march. Those atopic symptoms or conditions oftentimes run in families.
Describe how it looks and how you know that somebody has it.
So it's itchy, dry skin. It can be patchy, depending on the age. As I said, it's more common in children, does occur in adults as well. Depending on your age, it can affect different parts of the body. We see it very commonly on cheeks in children, or on the extensor surfaces. So that's the back of the front of the elbow or the back of the knee. Then in older children, we see it in flexural surfaces. So in the creases of your elbows or creases of the knee as well. It can affect the back of the neck commonly also.
Is it sore?
A lot of pain. Pain is a associated symptom as well, but itch and pain are the main things. And then thickening of the skin over time. So for long standing eczema that isn't being treated, that isn't going away, that's continuing to bother you over years, can cause a skin thickening over time as well.
So what causes this? Is it environmental factors or is it something that perhaps is genetic?
It's mostly genetic. There are environmental triggers as well, but mostly it's a genetic thing. So children who have one parent with atopic dermatitis are 2 to 3 times more likely than the general population to have it. So it does run in families. The thing about atopic eczema or atopic dermatitis is it's a skin barrier dysfunction. So the epidermis, the outer layer of the skin, is your first line of defense between the outside world and your body. It also prevents water loss from the skin. So if that barrier is not working, you're going to have barrier dysfunction. Allergens from the outside can get through the skin barrier, causing irritation, dry, itchy skin.
Are there environmental factors that can exacerbate it and irritate it?
Absolutely. So, you know, wet work, and I'm seeing a lot of hand eczema at the moment because of all of the hand washing that we're doing. Fragrances, cosmetics can cause it, detergents, metals, people who are working with metals as well, dust, mold, they can exacerbate it as well, dry weather, cold weather. So there are a lot of environmental triggers to it as well. So it can be tricky to manage.
And is there a risk of other infections along with it?
Yes, so risk of superimposed infection, it does happen. We do see it. So we see impetigo, which is infection of the skin, characterized by kind of a yellow or honey colored crust on top of it, which we can treat with topical antibiotics. So antibiotic creams sometimes needs antibiotic, oral antibiotics. Then the more serious is eczema herpeticum, which is infection of the skin with herpes simplex virus, which can be very serious. Patient can become systemically unwell and require hospitalization in that case as well. And then interestingly, just in terms of like the bacteria on the skin, so there is Staphylococcus aureus is very common bacteria that oftentimes just sits in our skin, doesn't cause any problems, or we don't have any symptoms of infection. But we do know that now that in patients with eczema, that there's over proliferation of Staphylococcus aureus on the skin, even though it may not be causing a clinically significant infection. But that over proliferation disrupts the skin barrier further. So that's why it's a good idea as a part of the management of eczema to do Milton baths. And you can look up, there's nice instruction on the NHS website about how to make a Milton bath to tackle that over proliferation of Staph aureus.
You mentioned as well about the fact that people washing their hands at present, that can actually cause it. What about chemicals and cleaning agents and even things like I've heard, is it true things like the chlorine in swimming pools can inflame it?
Absolutely. All of those environmental things can inflame it. And if you're looking for your triggers, this was keeping a trigger diary, seeing if you can identify what the trigger is. Sometimes we can't eliminate triggers that are in our everyday lives, and then it's just about managing the trigger. Whatever your trigger is, if you can avoid it, avoid it. If you can't, then you know the treatment always skin barrier enhancement. So using daily emollients is key. So using an emollient once or twice a day. If you need to wear gloves at work, wearing vinyl gloves instead of latex gloves is better. Emollating the skin, moisturizing the skin. If washing the hands as well, hand eczema is a problem at the moment because we're, you know, washing our hands for 20 seconds so many times a day with soap and water. But if your hands aren't physically and visibly soiled, like if it's not dirty, and if you're not just about to prepare food, or if you haven't just come out of the bathroom, you know, you can reasonably use alcohol hand gel in between times. And when you are drying your skin as well, pat dry the skin, to avoid any further irritation of the skin.
Now, what about getting eczema on your eyelids? That sounds like that could be incredibly painful. How often does that happen? And then how do you manage that?
I see it a bit, and it's itchy, and it can be very frustrating for people because people don't know why it's happening, because they're thinking, okay, I'm not putting anything on the eyelid, I haven't changed anything, why are my eyelids suddenly flaring? It's important to remember the skin on the eyelid is so thin, is so delicate, that there might be irritants that you're not necessarily using on your eyelids, but that are just irritating the eyelid. So look out for like even hair products, anything with fragrance in it can irritate the eyelids. Nail varnishes can cause it sometimes. So even if you're not necessarily using something directly on the eyelid, it can cause irritation of the eyelids. But there's an awful lot of worry as well about using topical steroids. You know, one of the mainstays of treatments for a flare of eczema is topical steroid creams that we use. We start with the lowest potency possible and then we increase as necessary. But, you know, we can use a low potency steroid cream on the eyelids. In short courses, it's absolutely fine. There's a lot of anxiety about using steroids on the skin because it can cause atrophy or thinning of the skin over time. But in short courses of 2 to 4 weeks, low potency, it's reasonable and safe to do it.
Okay, and you mentioned those steroids, moisturizers. Just to finish, Dr. Duran O'Leary, any other treatments, and have we become better at actually dealing with this condition over the years as we learn more about it?
I suppose one of the interesting things that in recent years is now that we're knowing that the overproliferation of Staph aureus on this skin has a role, even if it's not clinically infecting the skin, treating it the mainstay of it will always be skin barrier enhancement. So using the emollients, using the moisturizers. Then if you're having a flare, to see your GP, using topical steroids. There are other topical treatments as well, like topical calcineurin inhibitors, which can be used then at dermatologist level if you're referred to a dermatologist because you're not getting it under control with the GP. There are more sophisticated immunomodulator type medicines that can be used as well, and phototherapy as well. But that would be at the level of dermatology.
Thank you very much, Dr. Duran O'Leary, for joining us on our weekly Health Spot here on The Last Word at Today FM. And you can hear Dr. Duran O'Leary again at this time next Thursday.
to DFM's Last Word on Health with Matt Cooper and La Roche-Posay's Lipicon range. Sensitive skincare for over 30 years.